translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. After inquiring about proper self-knowledge from the son of Vyasadeva, who will be a great philosopher, he will renounce all material attachments and achieve a life of fearlessness. Purport. Material knowledge means ignorance of the knowledge of one's own self. Philosophy means to seek after the right knowledge of one's own self, or the knowledge of self-realization. Without self-realization, philosophy is dry speculation, or a waste of time and energy. Srimad Bhagavatam gives the right knowledge of one's own self, and by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, one can get free from material attachment and enter into the kingdom of fearlessness. This material world is fear. This material world is fearfulness. Its prisoners are always fearful, as within a prison house. In the prison house, no one can violate the jail rules and regulations, and violating the rules means another term for extension of prison life. Similarly, we in this material existence are always fearful. This fearfulness is called anxiety. Everyone in the material life, in all species and varieties of life, is full of anxieties, either by breaking or without breaking the laws of nature. Liberation or mukti means getting relief from these constant anxieties. This is possible only when the anxiety is changed to the devotional service of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam gives us the chance to change the quality of anxiety from matter to spirit. This is done in the association of a learned philosopher like the self-realized Shukadeva Goswami, the great son of Sri Vyasadeva. Maharaj Parikshit, after receiving warning of his death, took advantage of the opportunity by association with Shukadeva Goswami and achieved the desired result. There is a sort of imitation of this reciting and hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam by professional men, and their foolish audience thinks that they will get free from the clutches of material attachment and attain the life of fearlessness. Such imitative hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam is a caricature only, and one should not be misled by such a performance of Bhagavatam Saptaha, undertaken by religious greedy fellows to maintain an establishment of material enjoyment. An establishment. Translation again. After inquiring about proper self-knowledge from the son of Vyasadeva, who will be a great philosopher, he will renounce all material attachment and achieve a life of fearlessness. This is further a description of the astrological forecast for Maharaj Parikshit. Firstly, he will meet a self-realized soul, a tattva-jnani, jnaninas tattva-darshanaha. Says in Bhagavad Gita that a guru is one who has seen the truth, jnaninas tattva-darshan. He has realized the purport of the Vedic literature by dint of his austerity and surrender and service to his own spiritual master and the bona fide Parampara, Guru Parampara. So he has realized the teachings of the Vedas. He's living a life of surrender and service to the Lord, dedicated for the pleasure and happiness of God. That's one meaning of tattva-jnani. Another meaning of tattva-jnani is that he actually has had darshan. We say tattva-darshan. Tadvidhi pranipantena pariprashnena sevaya upadakshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva-darshanaha. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, the This is a recommendation, or this is an injunction that Krishna is giving. This is a prescription that Lord Krishna is giving in the Bhagavad Gita for anyone who wants to fulfill the mission of human life. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya vidakshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattadarshana. He says, just try to learn the truth. Try to learn the truth. What truth? The perfect truth, the absolute truth. What is reality? Distinguished from illusion. Who am I? Why am I in this world? What is the purpose of this world? Is there another world? Is there another way of life? Is there God? If so, does He live somewhere? Is He a person or is He impersonal? These are questions about the truth, the absolute truth, spiritual knowledge, atma-tattva-gyan. So Krishna is saying you should try to learn the truth about life by approaching a self-realized soul. If you want to learn the truth of biology, or if you want to learn the truth of medicine, or you want to learn the truth of economics, or the truth of business management, or the truth of computer science, you have to submit yourself to a teacher, a computer teacher in a computer institute, or you have to go to the medical college and study medicine under a teacher. He's a medical tattva-gyani, computer tattva-gyani, computer tattva. He knows the truth of computers. Computer tattva-gyani. Gyani means one who has gyan. He's a gyani. He has gyan, knowledge. Computer tattva-gyani. So you submit yourself, O Gurudev, O teacher, may vidyarthi hun. Was it? Adhyapake. You're my teacher. I'm your student. Give me, I'm vidyarthi. I'm anxious for your knowledge. So then we learn the computer science by submitting ourselves and surrendering ourselves to the computer teacher who should know the science. So in the same way, to learn the science of God, Atma Tattva Gyan, the science of the self, one must surrender to a realized soul. So the Jyotishi is predicting here. The Jyotishi means he has the eye. Jyotishi has the eye of the future. Because of knowledge, he can see the future. So he says, yes, Parikshit Maharaj, he will meet a tattva-gyani. He will meet a self-realized soul. Not just any bogus guru. And he will hear from that self-realized soul. He will hear, who is that self-realized soul? Because the name is not given here. The Jyotishi is saying, this Parikshit in the future, because he's predicting the future of this child. This chapter of Bhagavatam is called the birth, the janma, the birth of Maharaj Parikshit, the great king of India, 5,000 years ago, the ruler, Maharaj Parikshit. So the Jyotishi is saying, yes, in the future this will happen and that will happen, and you'll find out that he will be cursed by a Brahmin boy to die by a snake bite. And then he will meet a self-realized soul, a tattva-gyani, and he will hear from him spiritual knowledge, transcendental wisdom, atma-tattva-gyan, knowledge of the atma, knowledge of Bhagavan, Bhagavan-tattva, jiva-tattva, prakriti-tattva, karma-tattva, kala-tattva, these five truths. He'll hear the knowledge about Bhagavan, he'll hear the knowledge about the soul, knowledge about this prakriti, this material world and manifestation. Why is it here? Where has it come from? Who has made it? What is its purpose? Kala tattva, the truth of time. What is time? What is time? Who is controlling time? Because we are all being controlled by time. Kala tattva. Karma tattva, what is the truth of action? Working. How does one work in this world? Vikarma. Vikarma, akarma, karma. Different types of action. Tamasic karma, sattvic karma, rajasic karma, varna karma, ashram karma. There's so many different karmas, or actions, or work to be performed according to your ashram, your spiritual position, and your varna, your social position. There's kshatriya karma or dharma. We say dharma, which means the actions according to your position, guided by shastra. Your dharmic karma, kshatriya karma, brahmin karma. Right? Krishna tells the different karmas in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, I think 18. What is the brahma karma? Samo damas tapa shocham shantir arjavam evacha jnanam vijnanam ashtikyam brahma karma subhavajam. Brahma karma, right? The term is there in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, these are the karmas, these are the actions of the Brahman, the Brahmana. Samo damas tapa shocham shantir arjavam evacha jnanam vijnanam ashtikyam brahma karma subhavajam. This is how a Brahman, these are the actions of a Brahman. He's peaceful, he's tolerant, he's shuchi, he's pure in action and body and mind and words and deeds. Shuchi. Astikyam, he's very religious, he follows the yama niyama of shastra. Samadhamas tapashotram, he's forgiving, he's kind, merciful. These are the qualities in lakshana, but also lakshana or qualities or guna implies also action. Qualities only have meaning when they're expressed in your action. You might say, oh, he's a peaceful man. He's shanti. Samo damas tapa shantir. Right? Shanti, this forgiveness or peacefulness, different qualities. But if we see the Brahman is supposed to have this guna of peacefulness, but he doesn't exhibit a peaceful demeanor, then he's not shanti. At the slightest bit of disturbance, he becomes angry and aggressive and quarrelsome. This is not a Brahmana. Brahmana is tolerant. Srinadapi sunichena turoriva sahishana. Lord Chaitanya told in his Shikshastakam, one should be more tolerant than a tree. Srinadapi and Srinadapi sunichena. Trina means a piece of grass. Sunichena, you know, Hindi is the same. Nicha means low, and sunicha means very low. Trinadapi sunichena. One should think that this is the man, this is the abhiman of the Vaishnava, the Brahman. The Brahman's abhiman is that I am lower than a blade of grass in the street. Trinadapi sunichena. I am lower, I'm insignificant. Dasosmi. The Lord is great, my Lord is great, and I am just His humble servant. If I can render some service, that is my great fortune. This is the abhiman, the man, the mentality. He feels like that, then he acts like that. It's not like he says, oh, I'm a Brahmin, I'm very humble. But then you see him, he's in all his dealings and speaking and action, he's very aggressive, very proud, very inconsiderate. This is not a Brahmana. So qualities are revealed by action. Someone might say, oh, are you a peaceful? Yes, yes, I'm a very peaceful man. And if you observe his behavior, you see that he's always disturbed in every situation. So here, these are some of the predictions of the Jyotish that Parikshit Maharaj, he will meet this Tattvajnani, although it's not said, but of course we know later that Tattvajnani was Shukadeva Goswami. And then the verse is telling that he will become Akutabhayam. Akutabhayam. He will become free from fear. He'll become fearless. How will he become fearless? He's already a Kshatriya. He's Maharaj Parikshit, he's a Kshatriya. Chivalry, this is one of the qualities, this is the guna of a Kshatriya. He's fearless. As soon as there's any irreligion or any adharma or any threat of violence to his citizens or praja, he's immediately right there. He's not hiding in his bunker. He doesn't go underground in his bunker and put his helmet on and hide from the bomb. This is not a Kshatriya, this is Shudra. Kalo Shudra Sambhava. Kalo Shudra Sambhava. In the age of Kali, everyone has the Sambhav, everyone has the Bhav, the mood, mentality, feelings, heart of a Shudra. Fearfulness, laziness, intoxication, tendency towards intoxication, no courage, no valor, no strength, no purity, no religiousness. Of course, Shudras even have some of these qualities. Well, this is told in Bhagavatam, so that the Kshatriya is supposed to be fearless. He's the first one in the front of the battle. He's leading the soldiers. But in Kali Yuga, the soldiers are all out front. All the 19-year-old boys and 20-year-old boys and 25-year-old boys are out there in the front. And where are the generals? Where are the commanders? They're in the bunkers. They're back in the city. They're back in the city 300 meters under the ground with their fingers in their ears. This is a modern Kshatriya. No courage, no valor, no chivalry. Nothing like Mahabharata, Ramayana, Ram. They were Kshatriyas. Ravana didn't think, oh, Ramachandra is attacking me. Ramachandra, he's so powerful. I better go in my bunker. Ravana didn't have a big bunker in Sri Lanka where he hid there. You know, he was out, he was fighting. If you know, maybe you don't know what bunker means. A bunker means gufa. Gufa under the ground. So now this should create a question in someone's mind if they read the translation of this verse. That Maharaj, the astrologers are predicting, this great king, this great kshatriya, this great hero, Maharaj Parikshit, this baby will grow up and become a great kshatriya, a great hero, a great king. King means fearless. But yet this verse is saying that he will meet a tattvagyani, a great self-realized soul, and he will hear from that self-realized soul, and as a result of hearing Shastra and spiritual knowledge, that king will become fearless. Akutabhayam. So a thoughtful person, a muni, in the audience, he will think, well, wait a minute, how does he become fearless if he's already fearless? You understand? Do you understand my language? He's a king, he's fearless. He's already a king, but now all of a sudden the Jyotish is saying, he's already a king, he's already fighting, he'll challenge anyone, he'll fight anyone. That means fearless. Hey, come on. No. So this is the point. He's fearless, a kshatriya is fearless, but this verse that Jyotish is saying, now he will become truly fearless. Someone might say, I'm not afraid of anyone. I'm two and a half meters tall, six feet six, 175 kilos, you know, Superman. Who am I afraid of? I'll fight anyone. Such a massive person. Like Bhima's saying, Arjuna. They're Maharathis. They're Ati Maharathis, whatever they were. So powerful. They can fight 100 elephants. There was some scene in the Mahabharata that someone was telling me that Arjuna, somewhere along the battle, Arjuna was surrounded by 100 elephants. Some kind of yuha or something. He was surrounded by 100 elephants. And then Bhima came in and started throwing the elephants all out. Bhima came to save him. And he was taking the elephants and throwing them away like they were cotton balls. Balls of cotton. Because Arjuna was stuck in the middle, he couldn't get out of these. He was surrounded by 100 elephants and all these fighters or whatever, and he couldn't get out. So then Bhima had to open a way for him, to clear a pathway for him to get out from all surrounded by these elephants that would crush him or kill him or whatever. So he was throwing them away like cotton balls, just like you take a flower. So this is fearless, powerful. This is a powerful kshatriya. But no matter how powerful one is, every single person, every single living entity, from the ant to the elephant, from the semi-god to the demigod, from the human being to the demigod, everyone is afraid of death. Mrityu sarvaharascham, Krishna says in Gita. He says, I come, I am death. Who is death? Death is God. Who is life? Life is God. Life is God, death is God. Krishna says, Mrityu sarvaharat chaham, sarvahara. Everything. Aham, I take away everything as death. Your bank balance, your wife and husband, your children, your house, your job, your fame, your name, your position, and ultimately, your sharira, your body. Khatam ho gaya, sab kuch, everything, finished. Haribol, Govinda me rohe, Gopala me rohe. Govinda me rohe, Gopala me rohe. Govinda me rohe, Gopala me rohe. Radha Rasa Bihari Nandalala me rohe. Radha Bhakti Bihari Nandalala me rohe. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But for the devotee, there is no fear of death. When death comes, for everyone else, Krishna takes away everything. But when death comes to the devotee, Krishna gives everything. See the difference? For the devotee, for the Vishnu Bhakta, Krishna Bhakta, Ram Bhakta, Krishna Bhakta, devotee of the Lord, at the time of death, he gets everything. Krishna takes away everything, yes. He takes away everything unnecessary. He takes away everything of without meaning. Like this verse says, artha. Is it, where is that word? Which verse? Artaya? Yutara? Yatarto. Artha. Artha. Art. Art means something valuable, right? Art. A-R-T-H-A. Artha. Artha means something valuable. Something meaningful. Something significant. Worthy. So artha. So Krishna takes away, for the devotee, Krishna also takes away everything. He takes everything, all the anarthas. Everything that's unnecessary. Everything that has no value. This body has no value. This world has no value. This engagement, everything he takes away. But he doesn't leave you empty. He gives you everything. He gives his very self. Yayatamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham. Krishna says in Gita, as you surrender unto me, I surrender unto you. You give everything to me, I give everything to you. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam eva shati satyam te prati jane priyo sine. Priyo, priyajana. You want to become priyajana? A dear one, a dear person. Krishna priyajana. We have our Krishna priya here. He's becoming very dear to Krishna. He's Krishna priyajana. And Radha priyajana. Radha Krishna Priya Jana. So Krishna is saying, Prati, you can go, Priyo Si Me, you can become very dear, Priyo Me, to me. You become dear to me. If you give me everything. Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakta Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. Always think of me, Manmana. Worship me, surrender unto me, think of me, speak about me, remember me. Give me everything, give me your body. Just like a handsome man when he meets a beautiful lady, he says, Sharir Dehi, Sharir Dehi. Give me your body. Shari Dehi, oh, Shari Dehi, Shari Dehi. Oh, beautiful lady, give me your body. Then the lady says to the handsome, powerful man, yes, give me your body. And we will enjoy Maya. Haribo. Govinda me. So, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. So we want the body, we want the mind, we want the words, we want the money. The beautiful woman not only wants the body of the man, but she wants also his money, and his mind, and his thinking, and his heart. And his words of appreciation and his sweet, loving words. Isn't it? And the husband, the man, doesn't only want the body of the lady. He wants her heart and her mind and her words and her money. Or if she's rich, her money too. everything. So that's Krishna. Krishna is like that. He wants our body. He wants our mind. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Namaskuru means, Krishna says, mam namaskuru. He's saying, offer your namas, your namaste, offer your obeisances to me. It means he wants your body. And manmana means he wants your mind. Always think of me. And then he says, madhyaji, do puja. Yaji means puja. That means he wants your heart. Because puja can only be done with your heart. If there's no heart, there's no puja. It is simply mechanic. It's robotic. It's just moving incense, moving up. Esha dupa, Kling Krishna namaha, Esha dipo, Esha iram pushpam. This is all mechanical. If there's no heart, then there's no puja. Puja is from the heart. The body expresses the heart. That is puja. The incense is moving, the chamara is moving, the bell is ringing. That the body is expressing, but the heart, the real puja starts in the heart. So Krishna is saying, Madhyaji, give me your heart, give me your body, give me your mind. That is a devotee. He dedicates his body to Krishna's service. He dedicates his mind to remembering Krishna's rupam. Krishna rupam, Krishna lilam. He dedicates his words to glorifying Krishna. Singing, bhajan, kirtan, pravachan. Offering vandanam and prayers and stutis and stotras to Krishna. And just speaking to Krishna, oh Krishna, please help me. I'm trying to be your bhakti, but I'm so much maya in my mind, so much desire. Please do something special for me, because I really want to be your devotee. So his heartfelt prayers of devotion and surrender. From this way, devotee tries to give everything to Krishna, moment after moment, day after day, hour after hour, week after week, month after month, year after year. Then, what happens at the time of death? Mrityu sarvaharascharam, Krishna takes away everything like everyone else. But then Krishna gives everything. Krishna gives everything to the devotee. He gives his body to the devotee. You can embrace Krishna. He gives his heart to the devotee. You can love Krishna. He gives his words to you. He speaks to you. And you can speak to him. He gives everything. He gives his complete self to his devotee. Aham bhakta paradino. He says, aham bhakta paradino. Krishna says in Bhagavatam. He says, I give everything. I'm controlled by my devotee. Not swatantra. My independent nature, my swatantra nature is lost. God is the supreme independent. The param swatantra. He's the supreme independent person. No one is a... He doesn't depend on anyone. But he says, aham bhakta paradino. I become controlled by my devotee. And not swatantra. I give up my independence. My swatantra, I give it up in the face of bhakti, in the face of devotion and love. My independence is gone. I become controlled by the love of my devotee, by my pure devotee. I become a puppet in his hand. I dance like a puppet in the hands of my devotee. He pulls me with the strings of his loving surrender. This is the dynamic exchange of love between Bhagavan and the bhakta. Bhakta Bhagavan Prem. So that person who develops a relationship with Bhagavan, like Maharaj Parikshit, he becomes truly fearless because he loses all fear of death. Because he knows that death means meeting Krishna. Death means going to Krishna, meeting Krishna, loving Krishna. Death for me means embracing Krishna. Death for the non-devotee means embracing Yamaraj. Death for the non-devotee means embracing the Yamadutas, going to hell, becoming an animal, next life, to the karmic transformation. Become a pig, become a dog, become an ant, monkey, fish, chicken, cow, anything. This is the result. Krishna takes away everything. Yes, he also gives something. He takes away everything, and he gives you a dog's body. Because you live like a dog. You live like a dog instead of a human being. So you become a dog. So naturally, people are afraid. People think, oh, death, I mean, it's a little bit... Don't talk about that. People never want to talk about death. Devotees always talk about death. We love to talk about death. Oh, death, 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 death. Harivo, harivo. Oh, don't talk about it.
Tell me.
Put it out of your mind. Just keep it in the back of your mind. How can you keep it? Everyone wants to keep death in the back of their mind when the death is sitting on top of their heads. Death is sitting on top of everyone's head, but you want to put it in the back of your mind, underneath in a gufa somewhere. Death, oh no, no. Look, I'm young. Look, see, I'm still young. The proof that everyone's afraid of death is that they're doing everything they can to preserve their youth. Everyone, every country, America, India, France, Japan, Germany, everywhere. Everyone's afraid of death, and the proof that everyone's afraid of death is that they're trying with every bit of energy they have, and every bit of money they have, they're trying to save their youth and preserve their youth. Their vibrant energy. Because the soul is eternal. The soul is eternally youthful. The Atma doesn't get gray hair. The Atma doesn't get old or wrinkled or deformed or weak or bent over or sick or diseased. It doesn't happen for the Atma, for the Jivatma. And we have this Rupam. We have this form, which is asat, temporary. But we also have a Nitya Rupam. We have a spiritual form. Jivara Swarupaya Krishna Nityadas. The Swarupam of the Jiva is eternal, Nitya Swarup, an eternal spiritual body, Krishna Das. And that body engages in the eternal loving service of Krishna as a Sakha, as a friend, as a lover, as a servant, as a mother, as a father, in Goloka Dham, Prem Dham, Sri Vrindavan Dham. So, we say going back home, back to Godhead. So if someone is going home, when they get to their home, then they feel secure. Usually, people feel secure, relaxed, happy, protected when they're in their home. When they're traveling and roaming on the streets or visiting other countries or going to the city or here and there, moving in different streets, they feel some anxiety, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport. Anxiety is another name for fear. How do you say anxiety? Chinta? Hindi for anxiety, chinta? Chinta and bhayam. So bhayam is fear and chinta is anxiety, but they're the same. Anxiety means you're fearful about something. I'm anxious means I'm worried about my wife, or I'm worried about this. You're anxious means you're fearful. Chinta and bhayam are the same, basically. So when we're moving in the streets here and there, we feel some anxiety, we're a little bit anxious, I may get mugged, I may get robbed, I may get injured. But when we get home, we feel relaxed. So we have this phrase, back home, back to Godhead. So when one begins the Bhakti Marg, when he begins walking on the path of devotion, that Bhakti Marg is going somewhere. That rasta, that road, that pathway is leading somewhere. It is Param Gati. The Param Gati, the final destination of the Bhakti Marg, is home. Home. Spiritual world. Vaikuntha Dham, Vaikuntha Prapti, Goloka Prapti, Prem Prapti. So we're going home. So when we're going home, then we feel, yes, home is very secure. Home is very comfortable. Home is very peaceful. Home is very happy. Everything is arranged in my home according to my desire. Everything is arranged very nicely in my home for my comfort and pleasure and satisfaction and happiness. This kind of couch and this kind of bed and this kind of chair and furniture and clothing and curtains and stereo and window, everything. This is my home. Sometimes they have a phrase in English, my dream house. My dream house. My Kalpana Ghar. Is that what you say? Kalpana? Dream house? Kalpana Ghar? Sapnagar. So dream house means that the man works very hard. Somehow or other he earns crores and crores of profit. Then his wife says, oh please build me one house. Buy some property in Goragaon or Noida and build me one house. I want you to build me my dream house. I want my living room like this, and my bedroom like this, and my dining room like this, and my kitchen like that. Ladies, many ladies, they have this dream house. my home, of my dream home. So then the husband says, das os mi. Das os mi. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes, queen. Yes, Rani. Gar Rani. And then he gives her all the money and she builds her dream house. Many times I've been in programs in the West, in new houses, Griha Pravesh program. And especially Indian people, they like to go to America and make a lot of money and build their dream house. So I've been in many dream houses of Indian people, especially Gujarati. They do a lot of dreaming. Because I went in a lot of Gujarati houses in America. And they lived in a little apartment in the downtown in the city for 10, 20 years. And finally they bought some land in the suburbs and made a fantastic bungalow. So then they have Griha Pravesh. The devotees come for kirtan and puja and pravachan and feast and everything. So many, many I've done. At least 50, 60 of these programs. And I go in the house and then the lady says, she said, Maharaj, I want to show you around my house. And I said, okay, let's go. Here we go. This is my living room. And then I understand. I say, you made this house exactly according to your plan, right? And she said, yes. Exactly. I met with the architect. I told him exactly what I wanted. So I said, this house is exactly your house. This is exactly what you want. She said, yes. This is my, look at my kitchen. Oh, see, I have this and this and this. Oh. Dandavat pranam to your kitchen. So in this way, the lady builds her dream house. She makes her dream house. And then she says, this is my home. And the husband thinks this is my home. And he's very happy over there. Happy home. So he doesn't feel afraid there. So devotees, we're going back home, back to Godhead, to Vrindavan, Vrajabhumi, Prem Dham, Sri Vrindavan Dham, Sri Vrajabhumi, Vrajaloka. So we're very happy about that. And because we're going home, we feel very comfortable, we feel very relaxed, we feel very confident, because we're on the bhakti marg going to our home. And the difference between going home in the material world and going home in the spiritual world, even being on the bhakti marg and being going, you're on the way back home, you feel comfortable. You feel comfortable, relaxed, happy, secure, fearless. Even before you get to your home, you feel fearless. But in the material world, when you're on the road, on your way home, you're full of fear. Oh, I hope I don't get in an accident before I get home. Or some problem, my car doesn't break down. Or something. So this is the devotee becomes fearless because he's surrendered to Krishna. The verse in second canto of Bhagavatam, Yad Yad Vibheti Swayam. Krishna says, fear personified is afraid of Krishna. Vibheti, Yad Yad Vibheti Swayam. Yad Vibheti Swayam Vayam. Yad Vibheti Swayam Vayam. It says, that which is feared by fear personified. The personification of fear. Fear personified. Fear Vayam Sarup. Of fear is afraid of Krishna. Everyone is afraid of Krishna. And Krishna is our Lord. We're with Krishna. So we're hearing about Krishna, we're serving about Krishna. There's no reason to be afraid of anything or anyone or any circumstance. So this condition is told, this is predicted in this verse that the Jyotishi is telling that Brikshit Maharaj, he will meet a great self-realized soul and he will hear from him and become fearless. So this same process, this krama, this sadhana krama, or this sequence that happened with Brikshit Maharaj is happening right now, 5,000 years later, with each one of us in this room. And it will also happen with you. If you find a self-realized spiritual master, and you hear from him, Bhagavad Katha, the tattvas of the absolute truth, to hear Atma Tattva Gyan from a realized soul, then you will also become fearless like Brikshit Maharaj. So although he is a Kshatriya and he was afraid of no one in this world, he was still afraid of death. But by taking shelter of Guru and Krishna, he became truly fearless. And he stepped on the head of death and went back to Godhead. When death comes for the devotee, he simply says, Haribo, and he goes back to Godhead. So Prabhupada spent the entire purport of this verse discussing fearfulness, anxiety. Everyone's in anxiety. So anxiety is also a type of fear. So if one wants to be free from anxiety, the panacea or the medicine to remove anxiety is to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj heard the Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days. He became fearless. He became a pure devotee of the Lord. He became fixed in surrender. And he had the darshan of the Lord. At the time of death, he attained perfection. So Prabhupada mentions, he also takes a few shots at the professional Bhagavat reciters. Prabhupada is one of his favorite subjects sometimes. He often speaks about it. But he says in the purport that the so-called 7-day recitation of Bhagavatam by professional men has ultimately no value. It has some value. There's some punya there. But the real result of hearing Bhagavatam is to become fearless. Become fearless because you actually become purified and you attain the determination and realization and strength to surrender to Krishna by hearing Bhagavatam. And when you surrender to Krishna, you become his devotee. And then you become fearless when you're Krishna's devotee. But the professional men, they make a living of Bhagavatam. Vrindavan is full of professional Bhagavat reciters. There's so many brahmanas in Vrindavan that go all over India and all over the world making money on Bhagavatam. So you got so much Bhagavat prasad. And what did the people get that in Singapore that heard the Bhagavatam from your lips for 7 days? The same kind of prasad. They got bhukti. They got material enjoyment. They didn't get fearlessness. They didn't become fearless. Akuto bhayam. They didn't become fearless. They didn't attain Krishna. They get some material punya. So Prabhupada is saying, this is not the purpose of hearing Bhagavatam. Parikshit heard the Bhagavatam and he got liberation. He attained perfection, Krishna consciousness. Shukadeva Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam and he attained perfection by speaking the Bhagavatam.